Wait, wait, stop, that's the one.
Welcome to Zenten Speaks, a show where I make new friends and reconnect with old ones. A show where everyone's stories may inspire you to tell your own story. In this podcast, we encourage everyone to get rid of shame, guilt, fear, doubt, and judgments for themselves and for others, and replace those with love, empathy, compassion, understanding, kindness, and to do your best in everything that you do. In essence, to get rid of things that no longer serve your well-being, to be true to yourself and be honest with others. Why the emphasis of AIDS?
Why the emphasis?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the cocoon thing. It's the transformation thing, the emphasis, that like there's another stage to being queer. There's another stage to be human, frankly. There's like, if we look at like, there's the animal consciousness, which isn't particularly self-consciousness. Then there's the human consciousness, which is kind of like self, I am self. But there's also, there's another level, which is the cosmic consciousness. And this is what the gay guys of the 19th century that I started off by talking about were getting. 1905, Richard Buck wrote a book called Cosmic Consciousness. And in that, he waxes lyrical about Walt Whitman and Edward Carpenter. So, you know, he's a great big buff. And he also gives interviews with lots and lots of other guys who have experienced this thing of like being one, the oneness of everything. Beyond religion, you know, there's so little religion in these experiences. It's about nature. So that's where we are again, I think. So I want to, you know, realize that AIDS was for me a doorway to cosmic consciousness. But I got there through suffering. Those guys in the 19th century got there through spirituality. They got there through opening and enlightening their minds, not sitting and meditating and being good Buddhists, but feeling and enriching themselves with understanding and poetry and frankly, daring to believe that the love they had for other men was something noble. Mm-hmm. Even Oscar, you know, there was a term adopted by some of these Victorians for us called the Uranians. It actually came from Germany in the first place. And this was a competing with homosexual. The gay guys of the 19th century did not want homosexual to be a term for us. Apart from being a bastardized word, mix of Greek and Roman in one word, it reduces us to what we are. So the word a lot of them, including Oscar Wilde, were very fond of using was Uranian, the people of Uranus. Aphrodite, Urania, was the daughter of Uranus. You know, she was born when his genitals were chopped off, or something like that. And Aphrodite, Urania, was the aspect of the goddess that was the patron of same-sex love in the ancient world. And in the ancient world, same-sex love, lesbian love, and gay men love was respected. It's a spiritual path in its own right, as a way to the divine, as a way to wholeness. So that's what the Victorian gay men were aware of. But of course, the psychologists and the straight people who gave us the definition of homosexual were not aware of, were not wishing to be aware of. And the whole 20th century, it's enabled us to emerge because it stopped them being so frightened of us. You know, the rational human mind, so why are we stopping these people? They're just the same as us. They just do sex differently. So yeah, we've got in through the back door of secularism, and now we can actually reopen our spirit. But, you know, we haven't done that yet. And all the illness, sickness, discord, arguments, addictions, everything going on in our community, if we still have a community, is a result.
So you believe that being spiritual can help you like overcome?
Open up.
Yeah.
Open up. that don't get, you know, don't get attached to ideas about what it means to be spiritual.
Right.
You know, everything is spiritual. Coming out is spiritual. It's the most, you know, it shows you that actually being gay is not a sexual path, it's a spiritual path. The first thing you have to do is be true to yourself. That's what spirituality is. The central question of spirituality is, who am I? Who am I? Who am I? We shouldn't stop asking that question after we've come out. It's literally, that's about our desires and our love. It's, what about everything else?
You know, I never done the ritual of coming out. And when it's coming out day, I think that's what, October in US or some days like that. Month. Mm. And so I've asked a question. I used to be confused why people would say they have a come out story or they were telling people they're coming out. And I was confused. And I asked a question one time, like, why the importance of coming out? Because I've just been me and I don't care who didn't care about it. And then I learned, of course, gay history.
Clearly you had a lot, good upbringing, good family, or...
actually the opposite, but I think I tapped into something that was like, you know, and so I've learned about history and I learned people's actually society upbringing, why they emphasize on coming out or why that's important for them, because it probably, when they grew up, they got bullied or they had to be in a closet and all this stuff. And for me, I think thanks to I was brain dead. I was brainwashed and I was a robot up until the age of 26. So I couldn't tell you before that, like what was happening, but I'm grateful that I think it saved me from a lot of stuff. It saved me from a lot of trouble and doing drugs and all this other stuff, because I was so like, I didn't know things, and so when I had to learn these things, but that's when my head or my brain or consciousness was at its peak, where I can differentiate what's good and bad for myself, so therefore I chose wisely. And I think it's good that I was basically didn't have my own thoughts. But so for some people growing up, by the way, I grew up Jehovah's Witness. And some people growing up Jehovah's Witness or some other religion like Mormons, et cetera, they had different outcome where
I've met so many Jehovah's Witnesses recovering from Jehovah's Witnesses, having still been bullied terribly for being queer. That's a terrible, terrible time.
Yeah. Until this day, I still, even for, I do, well, because of the stuff that we believe in. And also I feel that I'm not living here for other men. Even when I was younger, I called myself the son of God. I'm a spirit. So therefore, any of your shenanigans that you're going to put on me is your problem, not mine. As long as I'm not hurting anyone.
It sounds to me like, you know, you've got that down pat throughout the ages. You've lived, you've walked the path, you've faced the trials, you've learned that one, and you're born in this time embodying it, and now it's time to bloody tell them.
Shit, I didn't think about that. Because I'm in a society and a lot of stuff were confusing, and I had to learn why is everybody so fucked up. I'm like, and of course, because of my, I had to learn, which is like sounds very crazy for some people, I had to learn that I'm Black. And I had to be like, what do you mean? What is that? Like, I'm not blind. I know my skin is darker, but like, what's the emphasis on that? Like, I don't understand. And I learned history and I'm like, why? I'm confused. Why is all the hate? And then nowadays, I don't know how it is in London, but nowadays it's about white guilt and white shame. And I'm like, what's going on? Like, why? Yeah. I'm like, can we give ourselves a break? That's why I call it masochism.
I suggest that it's only gay people who can open the people's eyes to this. Because we transcend everything. We're Black, we're white, we're every color, we're every religion, we're every class, we're in every corner of society. We are everywhere. when we everywhere, we get it that what you have clearly got, that everything is inside us, and we just fucking enjoy being alive and help other people enjoy it too, then everyone will get it. Yes. We will make it trendy. We will, gay people will make spirituality trendy. The spiritual movement has been going on since the 60s, growing strongly, same length of time as the gay movement, same length of time as the sexual revolution. The three of these things need to come together and realize that they are a movement for societal consciousness change that is only repressed by its own, by the political system that's terrified, you know, of losing power to us. But yeah, it will lose power to us. It will cede power to us, frankly, happily, when it realizes that, you know, people who love and care and get the unity are already here.
Right, right. And so I've noticed a lot of, and you can tell me what you think. You seems like you're into the zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your findings about the zodiac, and why is the zodiac a thing for you?
Okay, so unity, consciousness is a unity. The ancestors, the ancients knew this. They knew this much more than we do. And the zodiac gives us a map of consciousness. A map. Fancy that. It's a map of consciousness. Every year from Aries to Pisces, the sun journeys through the stages of life, the stages of the soul. You can experience the whole of your soul journey, including death and rebirth. Mm-hmm. Every year, Scorpio, Samhain, Halloween gives us a chance to experience death and rebirth. The winter is the time to be in cosmic consciousness, remembering that we are part of everything, feeling part of everything, feeling the joy of the festivities and feeling the stillness of the winter and the healing. And then spring, we get back into our individual energy and get out there and get active again. That's what the sun's journey through the year offers. The moon's journey through each month gives us a map of the emotional energies that we're all operating in. Every 2.5 days, the moon changes energy. It goes in this pattern: fire, earth, air, water. The emotions flow in a fiery way, then they go quiet into an earthy way, then they get very vocal and expressive, and then they get very sensitive and caring. That's the flow over and over and over and over again. But we think that the emotions are something that are just randomly happening somewhere. Science doesn't take them seriously because it can't measure them. But no, that's what we are. We're the moon people. We're in touch with emotion, with intuition. It's through intuition and feeling that we experience our oneness with each other. Mm-hmm. Can't know it. The whole point of the mind is to see difference. The mind is what gives us the ability to live as separate people and to analyze things. It's through the heart that we know our oneness. So astrology gives us a map, and we can tune into it and experience literally the best possible energies, mm-hmm. literally every day, if we can understand what energies we're operating in.
You, as you're speaking, you make the zodiac tasteful, because I don't know if you met those people. There's a lot of people, they make other people who's like, oh, stay away from me. Oh my God. Like, they make zodiac something tasteless. And
people have not got it. I'll tell you what, there's a big pagan movement in this world. Come on, pagans. You have got the gold. Earth, air, fire, water. That's what we are. We are a mixture of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Attend to all four parts of yourself in order to achieve balance. Until you do, you will never have balance.
Right. Yes.
You will never have wellness.
Those people who are ruined, I feel like they ruin the zodiac for other people who don't know about it. Have you noticed that?
Well, it's incredible how amazingly, you know, popular astrology has become, how widespread it's become. The internet now makes getting a star chart and learning about things so easy. I mean, and astrology, of course, is much older than religion. And guess what? It was developed in the temples of the Middle East, in the goddess temples, which were run by we are priests.
Right.
And Aquarius, so you know that we're entering the age of Aquarius. Everybody knows this is the dawning. La, 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 la. Do you know the mythology of Aquarius?
Mm-mm.
The story of Aquarius. Every gay person has to know the mythology of Aquarius. It should be in gay school, lesson number one. The myth of Aquarius is the god Zeus has the hots for the hottest boy on the planet, Ganymede. Zeus turns himself into an eagle and takes Ganymede up to heaven to be his cupbearer and servant. Actually, first, he went to visit Ganymede's dad. I'm not making this up. It's in the myth. His dad just happened to be the king of Troy and said, look, I really fancy your son. I'm going to take him to heaven to be my fuckboy. I know that's a bit upsetting for you, but here's loads of cows, and I guarantee you that he will be famous forever. And so daddy says, oh, that sounds a fair deal. Son, do you want to go? Son says, son's like, too right, do I want to go? And off he goes to heaven and is cupbearer for the gods and Jupiter's personal cupbearer. Mm. Until the goddess gets jealous and she says to Zeus, he's got to go. So he says, okay, Ganymede, you got to go. I'll put you in the sky forever as Aquarius. The age of Aquarius in the astrological zodiac is the sign of liberty, of humanitarianism, of the higher mind, of freedom. It's been gradually dawning since the 20th century. Gay rights are a sign of it happening. The internet is a sign of it happening. The age of Aquarius is literally where we can, as a species, evolve from being like Pisces, fish in a bowl. The symbol of Pisces is two fish facing in opposite directions. And of course, they're underwater. So they can't see much and they can't even see each other properly. Yeah, Aquarius is the cupbearer, boring the water from the gods, the water of life, the water of love, the truth of love into the world. That's us.
Mm.
We are Aquarius. Why does every gay boy not know this? Slap you all.
Yeah, we need to learn these things, definitely. Like they say, knowledge is power, is not
Air. Have you watched Air the musical? Watch Air the musical, please. You must watch it.
I think I've seen it at least one time.
Go watch it again. It's important.
Yeah. I love Hairspray though.
You are, me too. The original, only the original.
Yes, I actually watched it 2 days ago. Really stressy term, lad. Really stressy term, lad.
Debbie Harry's in the original too. My goddess, since I was 13. Another New Yorker.
So I read your poem that on January 5th, yesterday, yes, 2022. So would you mind reading us your poem?
But the latest one?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
The Crone Goddess Omicron poem.
Oh, that's sweet. I'd love to read you that, yes.
Yeah, I love it too. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Whoa, oh my crone. Well, every time I've heard, going on about the Omicron, which, let's remember, Omicron means little O.
It means what?
Little O. In the Greek alphabet, you've got Omicron and Omega.
Oh, okay.
Wait till we get to the Omega variant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Omicron. We call it a virus. We call it disease that's bringing humanity to its knees. But really, it's time to wake up and realize the world we inhabit is run on lies. One lie rules over all. The lie that human being is something small in a universe so vast, in bodies that don't last, we are kept in fear. Once by a god demanding obedience, now by science demanding compliance, with their paradigm of logic and dissection. But the trouble is, science is blind to the emotional and spiritual nature of connection. The lie says we are all at war with forces out to kill us, frightening us so that we trust the powers that be to take care of us. The lie says our individuality is all that we are, born to die and returning never. But the light says we're all one and we're on this journey forever. The light says we're only at war with the shadows cast by our own brilliance, that what seems to want to destroy us can reveal to us who we are. The light says we are vast, can move on from the past into a time of connection and healing, a time of mysteries revealed. We are spirits in the material world. Then we might call it the goddess that's shaking up life on earth, Mother Nature herself interfering to bring us to a rebirth. Oh, my crone, bring your grandchildren home. They believe in death. Show them, please, your wealth. They are afraid. They have forgotten. They don't know. Open their minds, grandmother spirit being. Oh, my crone, open their minds. Bring your grandchildren home.
Wow. I love it. That's why I had you reading it, because I was reading it and I felt like the poet himself should have read it, because I felt like it would be that amazing.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man.
Yeah, okay. Thank you for reading it, and definitely going to share that also as a clip too. Wow. So, yeah.
Good long talk. Great. A long one there.
Yeah. So what prompted you to write that poem as you're writing it? Like, what were your feelings and what?
Divine is, everything is an attempt by nature to bring us home, really. Bring us home. The crone is the goddess who rules the winter months. The aspect of the goddess rules the winter months. We, you know, bits of us die, the old bits of us die. And we need to let a lot of old beliefs die, perhaps. Beliefs in separation, beliefs in superiority, beliefs in mixism, badism.
Yeah.
Let beliefs die this winter, come for a renewal in the spring. Actually, we don't even have to wait that long. End of January, 31st of January, Imog is when the goddess Imog, the maiden goddess, comes into the picture, taking over from the crone, says the spring will come soon, she says. It happens to be my birthday. I am the maiden goddess, born on the 31st of January. And I want to say to K community, let go of our old beliefs about what they told us we were, everything which we know we're still fucking carrying. Let go of them all. Find the truth. Find the reality. Find your own truth. Happy little crone. Say goodbye to you all. Happy little crone. Here she is. Hi. I'm the crone. Oh, my.
Did you make that?
No. But she did sit on top of our Yuletide tree.
Very cute. Wow.
My own man.
Wow, that was amazing.
I'll just introduce him as well, shall I? This is from the Dagara people in West Africa. I mentioned Maledoma Somme, Sibomfu Somme, encourage people to look them up. This is from their tribe. The Dagara people is a trans shaman, if you like. They don't call us that kind of things. They call gay men gatekeepers and lesbians witches. And they completely accept that a person's inner gender may not be the same as their outer gender. Oh, what a ridiculous idea to think that your inner gender has to be the same as your outer gender. They find that a very strange notion. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. And the video you sent to me on YouTube, could I get your permission to download it and post it at the end of this video when I do the cutting?
Sure.
I was watching it. It's wonderful. And I feel that I feel like I want to share it. So thank you. It's very important.
I feel like it's the thing that's time has come. You know, I've been writing some of those words I wrote 25 years ago. But occasionally I've got to read them with a few blessed sacred friends, souls or fairies. But, you know, now there's more people can actually hear those words. It's so special to me that you can hear those words and resonate with those words that once sounded so strange to even write them.
So do you believe or even experience or know that I've spoken to a lot of people and a lot with this podcast, the purpose and the story is that a lot of people have gone through drastic thing that happens in their lives and they have died and be reborn into something greater than they could ever imagine that it could ever happen. And talking to you, it seems like that's the same with your story. So do you think or believe that there's some people out there, let's say they're still in their 70s and nothing as such has happened in their lives, do you feel like a being cannot, or not even cannot, like a better word, cannot be themselves fully, or that butterfly until they've gone through a big shift in their lives? Because I feel like a lot of people who has had a big shift in their lives, they, when I interview them, they tend to do so many great things in their lives and they're servicing others and they have such a passion about life. But prior, they were just living probably boring, mundane life, selfish.
Totally. I mean, I was just a gay boy, just didn't have any ambition in career-wise. I had a great mind, university degree, but nah, I didn't want to fit in. It was too boring. I wanted fun and I wanted love. And now I think that was my saving grace. Say the things that matter.
Wow.
I found love, and as ill as I got, the fact that I had a human, really genuine love with another human being. You know, we both thought we were going to die. We both had AIDS. We had no reason to hold back anything. We loved each other. I literally would go to sleep and dream of him and me loving each other in eternity. It was that good. And then, you know, we accepted that actually that relationship was there. We got ourselves through that journey together and then we parted. We got reached the point we wanted different things. Mm-hmm. Now I realize that love has to continually grow and grow and grow. And so do you have to have a crisis to get to that point? Not if you found your passion, I'd say. I had no passion. You know, I had no passion for life. And a lot of that was just, I'd been convinced that life was just a random, meaningless event. Mm. And what the fact it didn't even matter.
I had to ask that question because I speak to people and I feel like I'm very blessed and grateful that huge things hasn't happened in my life and I'm still young, so who knows, it will come up probably. But I've noticed a lot of people, big things happen in their lives in a crisis, and so I'm wondering, I'm like, because I feel like I'm in a space where I'm doing great things and I'm self-aware and I'm passionate about things, and when I'm looking at them, I'm like, do crisis need to happen? Because the crisis did not happen in my life.
Well, but I ain't going to say yes to that. I am not going to say yes to that in any way. I am going to say, you know, maybe not. Maybe they don't need to happen. Maybe if you can follow your passion, that's what it's all about. I do believe that's the shift as a species that we're trying to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe I'm an example of the Piscean age, you know, crisis followed by, you know, suffering, transcendence. The Aquarian age is, you know, is hopefully a different program.
All right. So I actually never ask anyone this, but I'll ask you, and if you like to indulge me, if you want, or if you have the knowledge. So it's actually a big deal for me-ish. I rarely to never want people to know my zodiac sign or even tell them or even want them to like do any work on me or even like tell me anything, because a lot of these people, as I mentioned earlier, they really from the paper and they're so negative about all this stuff. And I didn't want to really talk to people who just had opinions, but who didn't do the work or had knowledge. So I am a Pisces, so I've been told, and I was born on a Friday, February 25, 1983. So do you see anything?
You could be Aries then. You could be Aries. Pisces, you're on the Pisces Aries air territory. You know what? I thought about you earlier today. I thought, could be an Aquarian. I thought, no, I bet he's a Pisces.
So what was that thought about? Like, why did you thought Aquarian or?
Right, Aquarius.
Aries or Pisces?
Aquarius like to share the message, and Aquarius have a great big broader overview picture kind of mind. But Pisces is even more evolved than Aquarius. That's the last stage of the zodiac, Pisces. Pisces have got all those Aquarian traits, and then they take it into the emotional and spiritual levels as well, especially the spiritual level with Pisces. It's transcendence. Pisces is the place of, you can feel everything, you can suffer everything, but you can also transcend everything. Aquarius can transcend it in the mind. Pisces is about transcending it all energetically and the whole soul. It's about, Pisces is the last sign of the zodiac, is a sign that's most likely to naturally understand that we are everything. Try telling that to somebody who is a Taurus sun, mm-hmm. and they'll say, fuck off, I'm a bull.
Yeah, I've been called two things. People who like to guess, and I let them guess it. People have guessed Cancer a lot and Taurus. And I never read into them, so I wonder why.
I might be your moon. You see, now the sun sign is only the role you're playing in the outer world, your personality to the other bit in the exterior world. Your moon sign is who you are on the inside. How you feel, how you process emotion, how you process spiritually. Could well be that you're a Taurus moon. All you've got to do is look up your date and time of birth.
Oh, I see. Okay. Because I often tell when people want to know, I tell them I am the sign that basically there's 12. So I feel like if I don't know if the word Emily is the right word to use, but it sounds like it is. I'm the sign that can take on other signs.
No, I'm still listening. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a sign that can take other signs because I've noticed I'll meet certain people, and as we're hanging out, they would say, oh my God, you are this sign. And then I let them believe, so I rarely tell them no, because again, like to me was, because a lot of these people were not knowledgeable or scholars. They were just reading from the paper, and I didn't care about being judged or having this conversation. But I was curious to understand why they were saying certain things. And then I would say, hey, why do you think that? Well, oh my God, you're so right.
Yeah.
Because you're right. Anything you said.
And then also, your ascendant, your rising sign, that's your surface layer of your personality. Often people get that impression of you. So
rarely anyone say Pisces. Yeah. Yeah, right. It's interesting. This is why I never
I'm assuming because... you're not gonna broadcast this bit.
I mean
if you would like me to look at your star chart and give you my personal observations. I won't overplay it to you, just a few observations. I would be honored to do that for you.
Oh, I would be honored. Please, this is why I asked of it, because I rather speak to someone who knows these things instead of someone who just read it from a paper, who just have, they would say, oh, I don't talk to these people and keep them away. Because I've seen those meme online where they said, stay away from that sign. Or this sign is better.
Oh, no,
than
no,
that.
Please. No, that's too reductive. Too reductive.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Oh, there is a note I had is why Shakti?
Because of my Shakti.
Shakti with an A.
My Shakti is shocking. My Shakti is here to shock the world.
Mm. And can
Shakti
you tell
herself is, Shakti herself is right here to shock the world. And I'm just being a mouthpiece.
Nice. Love it.
My personal Shakti, my personal inner female sexual energy, I empowered. A, by being a gay slut and getting over all fear and shame and any taboos about sex. B, by getting spiritual and applying my sexual energy in a sacred fashion. This brought power. Why doesn't the spiritual movement have more power? Because some religions take you into the head, other religions take you into the heart, others tell you what to do with service, but no religion goes into the sex center. That's what the pagans did. That's what the, Hindus and so forth, they had their sects who did that. They still do, maybe. But they certainly did when the Europeans got there. But the West and the Abrahamic religions, the only stream in the world that made a separation between the flesh and the spirit.
And I feel like the Rishi did that.
So now it's spread all over the world. The religion is all about being renouncing desire. Well, it never used to be. It used to be about embracing desire and desire and joy and intoxication and sex, dancing, community. That's what took you into your spirit.
Yes. Yes.
But we also need to go to do it the other way too. We need to be able to do it with a pure heart and a pure mind.
Yes. And I think for me, my reason, no one has told me, but I feel like that's probably the number one reasons I don't get laid, because on my Grindr, when I talk to people, I prefer making love. I prefer having a connection. And I've done the hooking up thing, and I feel gross afterwards. Not all the time, but like I either feel gross or I feel the desire of wanting that more person, and that person is not able to provide the lovemaking part. So I just rather just wait and have lovemaking and connection and chemistry instead of like a dirty t-shirt.
There's a lovely quote from, do you know James Broughton? American poet, American fairy poet, James Broughton. He writes about joy. A quote from him, never look for a lover. Be one. Love does not hunt. Love attracts. We are hunters. We enjoy hunting, but that's another game.
Which reminds me of the...
It might even lead to love, but that's rarely the case. Hunting is hunting.
Which reminds me of the St. Francis prayer. It says,
I will throw one more thing in. A book, which I hope you've come across, Two Flutes Playing.
Two Flutes Playing, okay.
Okay, Andrew Raymer. It's channeled from our gay ancestors during the AIDS crisis. It's the most phenomenal treatise on men's love and men's spirit that has ever been written on this planet. I'm thinking of that now because of what we just said, whatever that was.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, definitely. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. And this was wonderful. And I can't wait to revisit it when I'm doing the editing, and I'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Have a good one.
I'm looking forward to sharing this stuff much, much more. I'm looking forward to bringing this message out and sharing this queer spirit with many more people in the years to come.
Yes, definitely. And thank you for servicing. Have a good one, Shakti. Namaskar.
Good day, Zen.